an expectation of the future, actually right now, and for all the days to come that are left in this world, and then beyond time into eternity. What a great and wonderful future lies ahead for each one of your children, for each one that you have redeemed and saved, and who you have given patience to wait on you for this day. And Father, we thank you that it is beyond anything we could imagine or think of, and we're just supremely blessed that this is our lot, our inheritance forevermore. And Father, we pray that you would help us to serve you in your temple at this time, to serve you day and night, that is, during these remaining days, according to your will. And we ask for your blessing on each one, although none of us deserve it. We pray that you would bless us according by your word and through your word, and may you bless us according to our need. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, if anyone has anything, please come up, Tom, to the mic, so everyone here can hear. Isaiah 66, beginning verse 17. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh in the abomination, and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith Jehovah. For I know their works and their thoughts, it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pole, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles or among the nations. I haven't really gone through those verses, so I mean, we can get like some basic ideas, but I really don't know.
Thank you.
Okay. Al? We can't take any calls today.
I got through a couple of times. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, it talks about many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord.
Uh-huh.
And then on down the line, he says, depart from me. When will that actually take place? You know, I was talking about it might be May the 21st, and then it didn't turn out
right.
That way. But can you just comment on it?
It's, sure. Yeah, these are good verses and a good question. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Excuse me. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name I have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And it's talking about, well, the day of judgment beginning May 21. That's when this is beginning. And we have to look at it from God's perspective, not from our perspective. We don't see people running around saying, Lord, Lord, and we definitely don't see this response from God. But from God's perspective, he shut the door. And since that day, you know, just as in previous history, people are still trying to enter into the kingdom of God. They're basically those in the churches, and not only those in the churches, we've learned also that people that have been outside the churches who profess to be Christians, true believers, and yet are not, that in a sense they're going to God saying, Lord, I've done this, I've done that, and therefore I deserve entry into the kingdom of heaven. And Christ is saying, no, I never knew you. Now, when we go to Matthew 25 with the parable of the 10 virgins, we find that the time for when they say, Lord, Lord, it says in verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And that was the significance of May 21. It was the 17th day of the second month in the Hebrew calendar, the equivalent date to when God shut Noah into the ark. And the door shut, and that's the day that the bride became ready. That is, God gathered all the elect, the whole bride, the whole body was complete. And he brought her in a sense, into his chambers. Now, remember we read that in Isaiah 26. In Isaiah 26, verse 20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. And you don't have to turn there, but Song of Solomon 1:4 says, the king has brought me into his chambers. And that's speaking of between really Christ and his church. So the king, eternal God, has brought his bride into his chambers. We read in Isaiah 26, my people, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. And that's what happened with the five virgins. He brought them in, the door was shut. Now here it's plural, because it's also looking at it from the perspective that there's tens of millions that God saved and that are on the earth right now, you know, a great multitude. And so in that sense, to us, it's like plural, but to God, of course, it's all one body, one door. So shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that come, my people, enter into your chambers and hide yourself? Remember Zephaniah, I remember reading this a bunch of times as we were leading up to May 21. In Zephaniah 2, gather yourselves together. In verse 1, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of Jehovah come upon you, before the day of Jehovah's anger come upon you. Seek ye Jehovah, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of Jehovah's anger. And that day is 5 months. 5 months, May 21 to October 21. So God really is saying, seek me, and of course only his elect would, and then you would experience that salvation if you're one of his elect, and that would hide you. Hide you. I need more fingers. Colossians 3, it says in verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead and your life is hid when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So we're dead in him and we're hid. Our life is hid in him. And that's what God had in mind when he says that you might be hid in the day of his anger. And then in Isaiah 26, enter into your chamber, shut the doors, hide thyself for a little moment, just a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. And the word indignation is a word that means anger or wrath, the day of the Lord's anger. We're hid in him, even though, you know, we're exposed, right? We're walking around like anybody else in plain sight. But spiritually, we're all hid in the chamber, which is like the marriage chamber. The bed is in the chamber. And it's like God took his bride in, provided safety and protection for her. And then he's saying, okay, now I have to go take care of my enemies. And it might explain why we read in Luke that when he returns from the wedding, because there's the marriage supper of the Lamb, which really is when the fowls come to feed on the enemies of God. And then that's going on presently. And then it says in Isaiah 26:21, for behold, Jehovah cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. So here God is indicating, on one hand, he's gathering his people, hiding them for a small moment, and now he's turning his attention to the world to punish the world. It's judgment day. And yet it doesn't seem to make sense with our with the traditional idea that God takes his people out of the world. They're all in heaven, and then, you know, he judges the world. It's all in a moment of time. No, it's the 5-month process. So anyway, going back to Matthew 25 and in that parable of the 10 virgins. Again, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And I just want to, you know, remind us, the door, actually, it is the door to heaven. It is the door to heaven, definitely. It's the only way in. But also it's called the door into the sheepfold, because John 10, when Jesus identifies himself as the door, you know, he is the door. It says the door into the sheepfold at least 2 times. And it's the whole context is he's the shepherd of the sheep in John 10. He is the door. And God searched for all of his lost sheep throughout history. He found them all, brought them all in safely into the sheepfold, and shut the door to the sheepfold. And now if anyone insists that the door is still open for salvation, well, they're basically trying to go up some other way. And John 10 tells us you're a thief and a robber if you do that. Once the door of the sheep is closed, it's because all the sheep are found. And now it's time to feed sheep. And that's what's going on. But thank you. Oh, I didn't even get to the verse in Matthew 25, verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. So that connects that statement, Lord, Lord, to the shutting of the door. Okay. We do? How do we do that without internet? You're good. All right. God is good. That's right. All right. Yes, Robert.
Luke 21. You want to go over those verses again there from verse 25 to 28?
Yeah. Okay, Robert. Luke 21, and beginning in verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the star. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. There are signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. What are the signs? Well, when you have the most evangelistic ministry that the world's ever seen, say they're not going to send out the gospel in order that people become saved anymore. They're not printing tracts. They're not printing booklets, which they did abundantly for years and years. How many people have called up in time past the family radio and just, you know, made a phone call or sent an email and said, hey, I need 5,000 tracts? Any problem? Well, maybe length of time getting to you, but you always got it. And they were always free. And cost was never a concern. And more than that, they are a ministry God raised up at, where the teaching was translated into I don't know how many languages. It ended up at 65, 70, 75. The gospel was translated in all these languages, proclaimed day and night to all the world that judgment day is coming, judgment day is coming. And like we read in Zephaniah, seek the Lord before the day come, before this day of judgment come, that you might be hid before God's anger. And now it stopped. The print press at Family Radio pretty much is quiet. And the gospel going out, you hear mostly music, you hear Bible reading, but you don't hear anyone urging you, go to God in prayer and cry out to Him today. Well, you, if you do, it's a mistake, or it shouldn't be there. It may be an old recording. And the believers too, the true believers who have been following the Bible, desirous to do the Bible, they also have stopped. You know, just look at your own self and your own life over the last couple of years and how often you would go out and you felt a burden. If you stayed home and you had this information, you had the information, you had the tracks, you had time, and if you didn't do it, well, there was like a conscience about it. Even going through a store, I remember like Walmart, oh, I didn't give the girl a track at checkout. And I had a bad conscience about it. And sometimes I remember I'd walk into the store and remember I didn't bring a track and I have to go back to the car. And all that's gone. All of it's gone. And no conscience about not doing that. And not to mention prayer. Praying for people, oh God, have mercy on our family, on this one, on that one, that you might save them. And still we're praying. Still we're praying, but we know it's done. We know whatever condition they're in, they're going to stay that way. And anyway, the sun, moon, and stars spiritually are the lights of the gospel. Christ is the sun. The moon is the word of God. The stars are the believers, the true believers. To think that they're false believers, it doesn't say wandering stars. These are the true believers. And why would God speak of the sun, which definitely represents Christ, and the moon, which definitely represents His Word, and then refer to those in the churches as the stars is falling? That doesn't fit with the darkening of the true gospel. It's the believers that carry the true gospel. And they're all the ones that are affected by this, the light of the gospel. Like it says in Revelation 18, when it's time for Babylon's fall, it's time God is judging them. The hour of judgment has come. And it says in in verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. In the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters. If you look up the musical instruments, it has to do with prophesying. Like 1 Chronicles 25:3 tells us they prophesied upon harps. To prophesy means to declare the word of God. So the voice of these musicians and pipers, trumpeters, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom, who is Christ. John the Baptist said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And he was pointing to Jesus. And of the bride shall be heard, the bride would be the believers, shall be heard no more at all in thee. Now we read that and we thought it's because we're not here. No, it doesn't require that. When God removed the gospel from the church, did he remove the believers from the world? They still had Bibles. They still had all the trappings. But what did, if there was a famine of hearing in the church, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and they couldn't hear because it takes the Holy Spirit to open up the ears. And what God has done now in all the world is he has brought a famine of hearing the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. They can hear. When Family Radio broadcasts pure Bible reading, anyone who's not saved will not hear it, because in the sense that the Holy Spirit can open their ears that they become saved. It's impossible at this point. It can't be heard anymore at all unless God has already opened up the ears of individuals prior to May 21, and then they, you know, of course, they already have spiritual ears. They can hear spiritual truth, and this is what's going on now. This is what Luke 21 is talking about, and notice it says it's a sign in the sun, moon, and stars, and that helps us to understand the parallel passages, like in Matthew 24. That it's not literal. It's not literally the sun darkening or the moon turning to blood or the stars literally falling. It's a sign. And therefore, when we see the gospel not going into the world as we are, that is a sign to every one of us that like it says in verse 28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So we're right on track. In other words, that we're understanding it right, that we're within the 5 months, and soon the redemption of our body, it will be here when Christ returns. Yes, Bob.
Okay, question on Pal Talk is regarding the two witnesses. Can you explain the two witnesses being slain in Revelation 11? More people are teaching that the two witnesses were killed on May 21, 1988, and May 21, 2011.
No. I mean, yes to the first part of that. That it says in Revelation 11:7, when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So the beast is Satan, who is bound for 1,000 years, and we read that in Revelation 20. He's loosed. First thing he does, he goes against the believers. the camp. He goes against the two witnesses, and he's victorious. That's the big thing. He's victorious May 21, 1988, because God has turned over the church. He's using him to destroy the church, to bring judgment at the house of God. But on May 21, 2011, first of all, when people say we're dead in the eyes of the world, when were we ever alive in the eyes of the world? When were we ever alive? When were we anything but the outskirting of the earth to them? And is it, you know, it's not the world who kills us spiritually. It's not that. What happened during the Great Tribulation, God had his people driven out of churches and congregations, and we were killed that way. But on May 21, 2011, it's not the day that God's people are killed. It's the day they're delivered. It's the day of victory from sin and Satan. And when people have it in their mind that Satan slew us on May 21, 2011, well, who won? God? God win? Satan would be the winner if he slew us, if he killed us. Well, you know, then he's kept his kingdom. He's still on his throne. But that's not the case. It's not the case at all. And God gives us very definite information in many places. The end of 70 years, the king of Babylon was slain. His kingdom was taken. And then Cyrus, who God calls his shepherd, took the kingdom. And that's what's happening now. So it's a mistake we don't want to make. Forget, get that out of your mind that we were killed on May 21, 2011. It's not possible. Only in the sense that all through the Great Tribulation, God's people were killed, like it says in John 16, when you're driven out of the synagogue. You know, spiritually you're killed. The world can't kill you spiritually. The world can kill you physically. They can kill your body. They can't kill us spiritually. How could they do that? That's an impossibility. All right, well, thank you for that question. Yeah, all the way in the back.
A statement and actually a question. The statement is I really don't have a problem telling people who inquire about what's going on with the Bible, what's going on May 21st. I pray that the Lord humbles me when I talk to them about, you know, that the salvation is actually stopped. And if you weren't delivered, excuse me, before May 21st, there really isn't something that I can tell you. You know, maybe the Lord will open my eyes to the scriptures, but there's nothing I can give them. But what I do want to say, when I do speak to people, and I just can't stop talking about the Bible. That's pretty much all my conversations. But when you look at the account of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and I believe chapter 7, 52 to 54, mm-hmm. where they gnashed at him. They gnashed at him with his teeth. In verse 54, Stephen was really. Actually, the Bible says they were cut to the heart. And when I go to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 51, this is talking about the evil servant that says that the Lord will delay his coming. And then in verse 51 it says, he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does the believers now, what we're telling people, are we cutting them to the heart that they'll gnash at us with our teeth at this point in time now? That there is no salvation, any hope for the ones that are in the church, that remained in the church?
Well, yeah, this information is primarily what God is using to judge the world. He's using it to judge the church and the world, that there is no more salvation. And if you think about it, we're well into this 5 months. We're coming up on 4 months. And the church, as far as I've noticed, hasn't been a problem. I haven't seen the church really harassing us at all. They've been very quiet. The problem has been from within those who believe May 21. And I think one of the reasons is that spiritually God likens the church to the firstborn. And when we look at the deliverance from Egypt, at midnight, God brought the plague of the death of the firstborn of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And that just shook them, and that was the big thing that prompted Pharaoh to release all the Israel slaves, and they were set free. But all the firstborn were killed, just like at midnight or at the very beginning of Judgment Day, May 21. The third part of men were slain in all the churches and congregations spiritually because they lost all hope right away because they were in the church in a situation where there was no salvation prior to May 21. And then in that transition, it killed them all. There is just absolutely no hope. Where on the other hand, there is, from our perspective, hope for anyone outside of the church. But I think when we're experiencing individuals or when we're in discussions now with people who are pursuing coming after the people of God, it's primarily been those that were with us previous to May 21. And yet we have to remember, we have it in our mind, we were all brothers and sisters, and it's not the case. Unless we're all truly saved. And, it's always been that way throughout history. Even with the disciples, there was Judas. And so if Christ would have come as we had expected, some of these people would have been left behind. And since he didn't come that way, but it's playing out over 5 months, they're falling away or going back to the world or church or just being against the gospel itself is an evidence that they weren't saved and never were. So the weeping and gnashing of teeth, I don't know how to fully explain exactly how that's taking place right now, but it would tie in with this period of time. I just couldn't, get into detail about it. But thank you. We're going to stop here. We need to stay on schedule today because it's a short Sunday, and we want to get out of here on time so the union can come in and have its meeting. So we're going to stop here, take a 10-minute break. 11:30, we'll come back and have a study, and then following that, we'll disperse. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your grace and for your word, and we do pray that you would give us wisdom in your word and give us wisdom in every situation towards every person. And Father, we ask for your blessing, though we don't deserve it. We ask for your blessing at this time to each one of us, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.